For our second scripture reading, we're still in the book of Jeremiah. We'll be here for a couple weeks. And we're in chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's going to be on page 732. Jeremiah chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is one of those passages that can make us kind of nervous, right? Now, while it would be easy to drop into a fire and brimstone type message, you all know that's not my style. So as we look at this, we need to ask the question, how can we understand this in the light of the gospel? So as I walk through this passage, I would like to ask one question and have that question in the back of your mind as we walk through. What is keeping you from following the Lord? We all have something in our lives that gets in the way. We all have distractions, temptations, whatever it may be. What is keeping you from walking with the Lord? So as we look at what God is calling out here, he's asking, what fault did your ancestors find in me? And they started following worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They didn't ask, where is the Lord? Where is God? So they weren't seeking God. They were seeking their own lives and answers from what they had made with their own hands, the worthless idols. Now, when I kind of dug into this word worthless, because it popped up several times within this passage. And when you're going through the scriptures and you're reading through, when something is repeated several times, key into that and try to do some word studies. Now, when you get into the Hebrew, it's a combination of two things. There is the negation part, and then So, not profitable. And so the NIV here translates that into worthless. So what prophet has a wooden or metal idol ever brought anyone? Nothing. So God, being the creator of everything, is looking down at Israel and saying, why are you following something you pulled up from the ground, basically? It can't give you anything. I have delivered you. I have produced for you. And that you traded that for what, a golden calf? And so he calls out his people and tells them that he is the source of life. He is the deliverer. He is the sustainer. Because as you look in verse 6, about how he led them through a barren wilderness, a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. Yet God led Israel through the wilderness, providing for them every step of the way. And yet they turned. And then he calls out the leadership, the priest. The priest didn't ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. Those who had training their entire lives going through the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, where the law was written down, given to them at Mount Sinai, they're the ones who know all the ins and outs of the rituals, why they do sacrifices, why there are so many different types of sacrifices, fellowship offerings, sin offerings, and all these other things. They knew what God wanted. They had all the instructions, and yet they still turned. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. And he continues on, says, therefore, I bring charges. And there again in verse 11, he calls out the worthless idols because they had exchanged the glorious God, the creator of heaven and earth, for a worthless idol. But here's where I want us to kind of camp out for a minute. Verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So let's ask a couple questions. Who is God? And what is an idol? We've kind of already answered them so far. God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who redeemed his people out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, put them in the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. What is an idol? A worthless hunk of metal, or whatever someone decides to shape, maybe wood? Something made out of human hands that has no benefit. Now, they were worshiping these idols. And we need to ask the question, what does it mean to worship? What is worship? That's a pretty strong word, which I think in today's context, we can look at something and we'll follow someone. We might follow a philosophy or a great person. We might pledge allegiance to a flag. But what does it mean to worship something or someone? It's that reverent, just falling on your knees, giving your whole self over to that thing or that person. So the question comes back of, what are you giving yourself over to? Is it to the God of the universe, your Savior? Or is it to something man-made? What is keeping you from walking with God? What is keeping you from following God? Now in verse 13, God talks about the difference between the spring of living water and cisterns. Now, I wasn't too familiar what a cistern was, so I did some research, and in that area of the world, there's times when there's droughts, not much rainfall, and they are possibly out in the desert. And so you have to have water to live. So what they would do is dig these pits and form these big holding tanks for water. And think about if you've ever collected rainwater in like a barrel. That's kind of the same idea, but on a bigger scale. Now, with your rain barrel, would you ever go out, open the lid, take your cup and get your water out of there for your cup of coffee in the morning? Probably not. Because that's just stagnant water sitting. So, on the best case scenario, you've got dirty, stagnant water you're drinking. Worst case scenario is these cisterns, if they didn't build them right, or maybe there was some type of terrible weather, or many different things could happen, and the cistern could crack. And then all the water that you may have wanted to use for your crops out to the ground. And now you have nothing. So God is making this comparison where He is the spring of living water, continuously flowing, continuously clean, good, refreshing, life-giving water. And they walked away from that spring and dug their own cisterns that are cracked and broken and are of no value. Now we see this comparison also in the Gospels. If you were to turn to John 4 and the story of Jesus talking to the woman at the well, they're at a well which has pretty good water. Wells are life-saving. But God offers the living water. And that's where this woman's ears perked up. Like, where do I get that? Say, well, I'm right here. That's a really cool story. We're going to go into that some other time. But you see this illustration of living water throughout Scripture and how God is saying, I am the deliverer, the sustainer, the life giver. So why would you walk away from the spring of living water to something you created with your own hands? That just sounds foolish. Yet we all do it. We've all had times where something has gotten in the way of our walk with God. So I ask the question, what is standing in your way from walking faithfully with your God? Because when we think about idols, it's not only a figurine to another deity. Anything that takes the highest place in your life is what you worship. And whatever you're worshiping is either an idol or the one true God. So I would challenge you this week to take stock. As you read through your scriptures, in your time of devotion, in your times of prayer, ask God to open your heart, open your eyes, and ask, Lord, what is in my life that is holding me back from my walk with you? Because when we walk with the Lord, we walk in His will, in His way, in His Spirit, to accomplish His mission. Now, in the Westminster Catechism, the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The first thing we do is glorify God. And we can't do that unless we fully worship God. Not an idol, not whatever's in our lives, but fully falling down on our knees before our Lord, who is our deliverer, our sustainer, and our life giver. So that is your challenge for this week, to go to God in prayer, in devotion, and ask Him to reveal what is in your life that is blocking you from walking with the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You for everything You do for us, for the very breath we take into our lungs, the very heartbeat in our chest. We give thanks to You. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for this church, for Your word, for the ability to just praise You, giving You all the honor and glory. Lord, help us to examine our own hearts. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what You would have us see, and guide our hands and feet to the loving actions that You have placed before us. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.